Hello and welcome to the TAA teleconference, Brandstoria, the power of your unique brand story, presented by Charlene Soans, Principal, Soans & Associates. Charlene's marketing career touches industries as diverse as the Four Seasons, sports, entertainment, retail, higher education, and more. She's a jack of all marketing trades and master of the good story, a brand building and marketing specialist with a penchant for understanding, defining, and leveraging brand stories. Charlene has helped strengthen many well-known global brands, such as Benetton Sports System, Spalding, Forefront Records, and the Ladies Professional Golf Association. She also has extensive experience working with collegiate bookstores and understands many of the issues facing authors in marketing their work in an ever-changing retail environment. Charlene earned her graduate degree from the University of Pennsylvania and holds a Bachelor of Science in Management from Babson College. For those of you who are just called in, please press 4-star to mute yourself. It minimizes any background noises during the call. I now turn the teleconference over to Charlene.
Thanks, Kim, and hi, everyone. I know many of you have had the opportunity to print out a handout for today's discussion. So I don't necessarily follow that verbatim, but whether you have it or not, I'll go through the material. You'll find many of the key messages on the handout, but what I'd like to do is wait until the end when we can open it up and take some questions, and we should have plenty of time for that. So today we're going to discuss how developing and telling your brand story is a powerful way to connect with customers. So we're going to focus on three key areas. First, we're going to gain an understanding about the power of brand stories. So what are they and why do they matter? Second, we're going to consider how they can work for you. So as an author, you're all under increasing pressure to help tell the world about yourself and your work, and even to sell. So you're likely more and more responsible for helping books move off the shelves, no matter who owns it, you, the publisher, or perhaps a bookseller. So finally, I hope that today you'll gain some insight on important considerations in telling your story. So we'll go through a quick framework to help you get started. So what is a brand story? It's quite simple. It's all about taking the stories about who you are and what makes you interesting to your customers, and then talking about it. So why stories? Why do stories work? We all live and breathe them. It's how we walk around and engage in the world. So what do I mean? Let me use a very personal example and bring it down to a personal level to start the conversation. So the first concept, we are the stories we tell. So this happens on a subconscious and conscious manner as we go about our day. Every single day, I tell myself stories and then communicate them to others about myself, my existence, and my situations. I live them, and so do you. So I'll give you an example from my personal life to illustrate this, and it kind of gives you the gist for how we walk around and live stories. So when I was a little kid, my personal interest in school always just naturally gravitated towards the humanities. I loved reading and writing, but the third R, not so much. So math just didn't come naturally to me. So pretty soon, I was telling myself, I'm not very good at math. And in fact, that message was probably reinforced by the people around me, too. So it's sort of a natural tendency that we all have is to tell ourselves stories. And then pretty soon, they become, in essence, a myth that we can live with. So I lived with that story for years and years. And it wasn't until I was learning to be a private pilot in my mid-30s that I found myself doing all these, you know, calculations in the midst of a flight, and I realized, wait a minute, I bought into this crazy story about myself all these years, and it's not even accurate. So guess what? I'm not the only one who does things like this. It's human nature. And just stop and think to yourself about the stories that you tell yourself. So we live with stories all the time. We tell them about ourselves and about others and about brands too. So, okay, that's the first concept. We are the stories we tell. So why does this matter? Well, fundamentally, and here's the second concept, brands are about people. Brands solve problems and answer anxieties and fears and fill emotional gaps for people. So we decide all day long which brands we want to buy or not. Sometimes in a split second we make these decisions, but usually we make them because it brings something to our lives. They add to our stories, our own stories. So we are the stories we tell, and then because brands solve problems and fill voids and needs for people, we attach ourselves to stories that add something to our lives. So that's sort of the general broad concepts that you need to understand. But now, what makes a great story? So you all know this best as authors, but I'm just going to recap quickly to be clear. A great story does a couple of very important things. It builds an emotional bond with the reader, the recipient, or the audience. And it's participatory. It takes me on a journey, helps me envision myself in some new, better, altered way, and enables me to put myself into the context of a story. Okay, so that's what makes a great story. Builds an emotional bond and it's participatory. So great brands also tell great stories. So let's look at this in detail. How do they do this? Well, first of all, it sets them apart. So I want you to think about some well-known brands and the stories that you attach to them and the stories that they tell us. So I'll just throw out a couple of examples. Southwest Airlines, they're really very different in the story that they tell from other airlines. Right now, if you pay attention to what they're telling us, it's all story that evolves around free baggage. So you don't have to pay when you check your bags at Southwest. But over time, not only do I have a story from them that talks to affordable, convenient, it's a whole different story that they tell versus other airlines. The Body Shop. If you know The Body Shop, they make skincare and health and beauty aids. They told a story about, it was really one of the first environmental stories, and it was all focused around animal testing. Their products didn't include animal testing. So if that was an important story to you, you would attach to that brand more naturally. It was a way for you to connect through a personal interest. So two other brands that just come to mind. Starbucks, if you think about them, the story that they tell, how is that different from, say, Dunkin' Donuts? Or even Levi's. What do you think of when you think of Levi's? I think of all-American brand, the rugged West. I mean, I could go on and on. So great brands tell stories that set them apart. Great brands also tell great stories that communicate in a powerful and emotional way. So I used to work for Benetton, and they used powerful brand stories that were designed to shock you. So they had a very particular effect in mind. And one was extremely memorable to me. And I'll just describe the picture to you. So the ad showed three human hearts, just human hearts. And on each heart was a single word. One said white, another said black, and another said yellow. So this made a really powerful point about how, despite skin color, we're all the same on the inside. A heart is a heart. But it also was very telling in terms of a story about the company and its products. So by purchasing or not purchasing a Benetton sweater, you were really also deciding if what they were presenting, their values, their beliefs, their ideals, their opinions, their image, was something that you wanted as part of your personal story. So these stories, as conveyed in their advertising, added meaning to the brand and the products and services they offered, but it also was something you could attach to yourself, your own self-image, your own self-brand. Okay, so then it goes to say that great stories also can attract customers. So we get to decide, do I want to associate with that brand story? And a great story can make the association a really desirable thing. So I'm going to give you a few more examples that I think illustrate this. A number of years ago, and I call myself a wannabe athlete. Grew up playing tennis. I'm a woefully bad runner, but I do it nonetheless. And years ago, I saw a Nike commercial telling a story of a 40-plus-year-old woman who just a few years earlier had been overweight and sedentary. She never ran a step in her life. And in this ad, they were showing her successfully trucking it up the hills of San Francisco in her Nike running shoes. And by listening to the story and getting pulled into it emotionally, I could feel what it was like to run up those hills. And it was really inspiring. I thought, if she could do it, I could do it. So her story made me think and buy into their tagline, just do it. I thought I could just do it too. So, okay, that's a very commercial example, but let's take it down to an even more personal level. Think about music for a second. If I tell you I like singer-songwriter James Taylor, or conversely, hip-hop artist Jay-Z, you think totally different things about me based on the story that those artists convey. So, in fact, I might even like an artist, but not secretly, tell you, because I don't want to be attached to their story. So if I tell you I secretly like a Miley Cyrus song, doesn't that give you a totally new picture of my musical taste and ultimately of me? So anyway, I choose brands and their stories as what I kind of look at as add-on compliments or even fashion accessories to my personal story, and so do you. We may not consciously think about it that way, but that's in essence what it is. The brands you associate with add up to tell people something about you. So it's important to think about as you present yourself to the world. So, finally, great stories also encourage loyalty. A really great example of this is Whole Foods Market. So they tell stories in everything that they do about their commitment to organic, green, healthy food sources. And for those people who find this important, it keeps them coming back. That becomes an important part of their story and how they live their lives. So Whole Foods also exemplifies another important point. The story you tell is not just in the narrative, but it's visual too. It's in the look and feel and in the actions of everything you do. So another word for this is also brand promise, what you promise to deliver your customer in everything that you do. So your story talks to that. So let's do a quick recap of this first section here. Brands are about people, and people are about the stories they tell. So great brands tell great stories. They create an emotional bond and offer a way in which your audience can participate. We want a great brand story. Why? Because it'll set you up to capitalize on all of this stuff by setting you apart, by helping you communicate in an emotional way, and even attracting and encouraging loyalty. So now that we know more about what great brand stories are and what makes them great, why do they matter? Brand stories are a great tool to express what makes you unique and special with clarity and relevance. And all that's really important if you want people to take notice of you. And not just take notice of you, but have interest in you or your topics. So this gets more and more important all the time. We see this every day. We know it. We live it. People make decisions quickly. What to read, what to buy, what to watch, and ultimately how to spend their time. So if you have just a moment to gain and keep that attention, you should be able to tell anyone in just a few seconds, or what I call a short story, about what you do. And in doing that, do it in a way that's relevant to them. By the way, this leads me to a really important question, which is, now wait a minute, who really develops your story, you or your customer? And the answer is both. So this means you really need to be true and authentic. You can't just throw propaganda out there and expect people will buy it. You have to walk the walk. And if not, there's going to be a big difference between the story you tell and the story your customers tell. And it will be a continuously evolving tale. So there's got to be synergy in what you tell and in what the customers really experience and hear. So I'm going to turn marketer on you for a minute, which means the name of the game is all about fan engagement. So, engagement. It's one of those buzzwords that sounds, wait a minute, suspiciously like participatory. So let's reframe this. Your work is to give people a story in which they can participate. So make their story your story, or your story their story. So what's all this talk about fans? You might be thinking, I'm a writer, I write it, and they will come. Well, that's partially true, but developing fans is an important part of your business. It helps you build a base of customers for continued success. So here's the deal. No one else is really going to do it for you. So I think a great parallel is the music industry. Consider what's going on in music these days. Recording artists have been forced, thanks to the demise of the record label and to the demise of the record store, and actually the actual record, by the way, to take matters into their own hands. So the artists, nobody's out there promoting the artists anymore in the way that it used to happen. So with the advent of digital readers and what many people think is the iPod moment for the book industry, perhaps upon us somewhere here in our future, well, okay, that's a whole other topic, but surmise it to say, I think there's a lot you can learn from looking closely at the music industry and how artists have thrived. So go look at independent recording artists and how they develop a story and then sell it across the web as a great model. So, okay, back to the book world. Telling your unique story can help set you up to be successful. So let me give you an example of a connection and a story from the literary world. I really like the work of writer David McCullough, and particularly his book about the life of John Adams. I grew up in Massachusetts. Everything I learned was Revolutionary War, Revolutionary War, and oh, by the way, Revolutionary War. So I just have a natural affinity for John Adams. So what I loved about David McCullough's book is how he was able to peel back sort of the familiar layers of this ubiquitous American icon, someone most of us only know really superficially, to expose more of the real person as someone we might relate to even today. So I love the book, finished it, put it down, and frankly, my interest could have just ended right there. But, you know, I think we've all experienced the moment, those of us who like to read, where you put down a book and it's sort of like saying goodbye to an old friend. So I was compelled to see what more I could learn about the topic. So turning to the internet, I happened to find a little YouTube story about McCullough and how he actually wrote John Adams. So, and I got this great story. He sits in a little tiny one-room cabin in a field with just his typewriter, where his objective is to transport himself right into the times and without any of the technological distractions of today. So learning about McCullough actually helped me understand, in part, what I found to be so compelling about the way he wrote John Adams and the way he portrayed Adams. And the story that was painted about the writer and the expert of a subject of interest to me prompted me to then go learn more about him, to hear more about what he was doing. So I sought out lectures and public appearances. I visited his website. I looked at interviews in the hope of learning more, and voila, before I knew what happened, I was hooked. McCullough had a fan, and one, by the way, who bought a lot more of his books. So how do you start identifying and telling your brand story? So now we know what they are. We understand how they can work for us. So how do I get started? I'm going to walk you through three steps for telling a more powerful brand story. So I'll give you the steps first, and then we'll go back and go into each one in greater depth so you can understand how to get started. So the first is, know the foundation of your story. The second is, hone in on how you're different. And the third is, tell it. So they sound very obvious to anyone who writes, but okay, so we'll go back. Know the foundations of your story. So there are three main components to knowing the foundations. They are your dimensions, your personality, and then your building blocks. All of these things work together to develop your story, but where I naturally want to start is at dimensions. They're really critically important for the language and narrative that you develop when you talk to people. So what are brand dimensions? Brand dimensions are words that describe you, your business, your service, your brand. And they're succinct. They usually represent the essence and the heart and soul of who you are presenting to the world. So I'll give you some examples. When I worked with the University of Pennsylvania, we rebranded the university. And we had to identify brand dimensions. So we did a big brainstorm with lots of different people, I mean hundreds of people, all different stakeholders, to find out when they heard University of Pennsylvania and thought of the university, what words came to mind. So we then took those words and tried to understand, okay, which ones set the university apart? Which ones are really the most relevant and powerful to the meaning of what we were presenting to the world as a brand? So I'll give you an example of four of them. And the more you can narrow this down, the better. Typically, really, really great focused brands have one or two words. We had about six, but they were all very important, compelling parts of what made up the university brand. So, for example, Ivy League, Benjamin Franklin. And when you talk to people at Penn, you get a very strong story about the founder of the university. Philadelphia, the university is set in an urban environment, which is very vibrant, and that's an important part of their story. And then this phrase that they use, practical knowledge, which is the very basis for which Franklin created the university in the first place. So there's a very specific story about that that they tell to the world. If you go to Penn's website at upenn.edu, you will see these words interspersed throughout everything that they talk about with the university. So those are your brand dimensions. So second, personality. As professionals, we all use jargon that's common in our field. But often we forget that others may not be familiar with them. So it's really common for me to sit in on meetings with other organizations and people, and I have to take out a piece of paper just to create a list of the acronyms, and I have to stop people and ask questions like, what do you mean? And, you know, we all get really caught in being in our own worlds, and we're all, particularly when we're experts about a subject, we think everybody knows this stuff. And frankly, it can be a little boring to talk in a very I'll use the word normal. but we just get caught in our own speak frequently. So I've been in a meeting where I actually had a little glossary just to keep up with people. It was a bunch of, it was a technical firm. And at one point, I actually held up the piece of paper to show everyone, like, I can't understand you. So, and we all do this to some degree. So I would really take a look at how you describe your work. Is it overly academic? Is it understood by someone who may not already know the content? So I'm not suggesting dumb it down, right? I'm just suggesting look at the words that you use and make sure that anyone, a new student, might understand what you're talking about when you talk about your work and your brand. So another thing to consider about personality, and I say this with all due respect, and it's a finger I point at myself frequently, here's a basic rule. I've been reading the book Brain Rules by Job Medina, and if you want to check it out, it's brainrules.net, and he takes a look and examines neuroscience to support concepts about how our brains work. And it's really great information for anybody who's presenting a story. And one of his rules is simply this: we don't pay attention to boring things. We all know this. We all know it. And, you know, we get caught, as I mentioned before, in, well, topics of interest to us are naturally entertaining to us. But we have to think about, are we telling compelling, vivid, and interesting stories about our work? Really. Really ask yourself. So, and be the harsh critic. So while I'm not asking you to be entertainment tonight in your delivery, just really consider, how am I presenting my story? Is this interesting to people? Do they want to know more? Okay, so step one, know the foundations of your brand. And I'm just going to make a little note. In the handout, there is a section about the building blocks. Building blocks are the behind-the-scenes platforms that support your messages, that support your story. So it is very customer-focused, and it starts from the bottom up with what is the context of how people see us and our brand. Why does the product or service that we offer, why is it needed? Why is it relevant? So context and relevance. And this is an outward-looking viewpoint at our markets. And then what's the value? So I like to walk people through those steps just to ask yourself, you know, it's a way of keeping it real. You don't necessarily have to sit and define all of this, frankly, to tell your story. But it's a good check to say to yourself, am I talking in a way that people, you know, that it has meaning to them? Do I present what I do for a living in a way that people understand, here's the value? And then ultimately, what's the promise that I want to deliver to my audience? So those are just some things to consider. They're not necessarily the things that you tell the world, but it's the things that go behind the scenes in your mind as you construct your story. So, okay, step one, know your foundations. And as I mentioned, start with your brand dimensions, particularly as you're going to develop a short story, a very quick elevator pitch, right? I always like to tell people, if somebody came in the middle of the night and shook me and woke me up in the middle of the night and said, "What do you do?" I would be able to tell them, help people develop and leverage brand stories. I'd have a very quick response. Why? Because, well, people have short attention spans. People don't have a lot of time. And they also want to hear, you know, give it to me quickly. So while you got to have the quick version, you know, the rest of us, we could all talk about our subjects for a long time, I'm certain. But make sure you develop that short story, but make sure you work into it those dimensions, those things that make you unique versus everybody else in the world. And if you don't know what they are, go around and ask the people that you know. Ask your colleagues, ask teachers, ask professors, ask people. You'll get a clear response from them. So that's number one, know your dimensions and the foundations of your story. So step two, hone in on how you're different. So here's the key. You have to really ask yourself, and this is, I think, one of the toughest parts, is it really different? So the example I'll use, I don't know about all of you, but if I hear one more company attach themselves to a green initiative for marketing purposes as a point of differentiation, it makes me kind of want to just scream and say, everybody's doing this. How is that different? So they're doing it because it matters to people, clearly, which doesn't make it any less relevant for doing it, but to point it out as a point of differentiation. I'm starting to say to myself, is it? Is it really? Or is this now just a basic requirement? So ask yourself, what are the things that I'm doing that are really different? Am I writing in a certain way? Is my topic or topics have an approach? How is my work different? And then the litmus test, is it meaningful and memorable? So how am I presenting this stuff to the world? Am I doing it in a way that catches people's attention? So one little thing that I would suggest as you do this, and I find this to be very, very helpful, I construct a word cloud. I take either sometimes my letters to people. Sometimes I've done this with website content. I've done this with brochure copy. I've done it with resumes and CVs. So plug it into a word cloud. So a word cloud takes all of the text and jumbles up all the words and shows you here are all the different words, but with some words bigger than others. So you start to get a feel. The words that are larger are words that are used in greater context and more frequently. So when you plug these words in, and a great place to do it is wordle.net. That's word, W-O-R-D-L-E, wordle.net. And you can take pieces of copy. And I use this source all the time. It costs nothing. And I stick the pieces of copy in there, and then I have a little word cloud, and I look at that because it always makes the big picture come out visually to me. I see right away, aha, look at the words that surface to the top as really big. And then I ask myself, is that really the story I want to tell? Which words work for me, which ones don't? So it's a great way to work through your challenge of identifying brand dimensions that are powerful and relevant. And it's also a great way to hone in on how you're different. You can do a word cloud and then ask yourself, okay, does that look any different than any other author's word cloud? Or any other pitch about a particular book? So that's something I really recommend. I find it to be very helpful. So step one, know the foundations. Number two, hone in on how you're different. And then ask yourself, really, is it different? Then the third step, you got to tell it. Tell your story. Tell it everywhere. Tell it consistently. So I'm going to walk through just some quick considerations for you. First, go where your customers are located. So in the broader sense, particularly in the education world, this means social media. And I know for a lot of people that creates a lot of discomfort around privacy, but set up a fan page. Start talking to people. If you don't know how to do it, there are a lot of resources now. Just do a quick little Google search, and if it, you can find people who will help set it up for you, who will help you get comfortable with it. But I have to tell you, it works. Customers are there, and they're engaging in storytelling. The stories are little tiny quips in many cases of here's what I'm doing today, here's what I'm reading, here's what, you know. But there's a definite conversation that's happening, and you want to be part of it. Not only that, but academic college bookstores are really understanding the power of social media. And I'm watching a lot of stores do this with really, really great success. I'm trying to think of, I know Penn is doing it, and I can think of a few others. And if you're interested, let me know, and I'd be happy to direct you towards a few schools that are doing a great job there. So go where your customers are located. I have a strong hunch that particularly the stores and students are in social media, but you might find that they're somewhere else too. It could be that it's talking and doing lectures in the store. So anyway, that's the first consideration. Go where they're located. The second is be unexpected in the way you tell your story. So the two examples I'm going to give you. One is, I've done a lot of work in the sports industry, and if I see one more ad for anything that is related to golf that shows me this beautiful little manicured 18th hole with the flag and the cup, and they all look the same to me. I can't discern any of these differences. One looks like the other, looks like the other. The second one is, and I think everyone has probably experienced this, think about how many times you've seen a commercial for a car. And you see a car snaking through a canyon or driving through the desert. How many of us ever remember what the brand was? So be unexpected in the way that you deliver your story. And that includes, and this is another one of the brain rules, you know, be visual. The old story, you know, or the saying, a picture is worth a thousand words, is often really true. So make sure that you're doing it in a way that grabs people's attention. It doesn't have to be Benetton controversial. In fact, there's a lot of negativity toward that kind of an approach. But just be different, be unexpected. Tell me your story in 10 seconds or less. So I just heard this the other day. This is very anecdotal, not scientific. But I heard that 15 years ago, anybody who got a hold of a CV, you were lucky if somebody spent, the average time was something like 7 to 10 seconds in reviewing a CV for a position. Today, that's as low as 3 seconds. So people are definitely, you know, people are multitasking, which, okay, we could have a whole discussion on that, but we won't. It's just a fact of life. People are quick with their attention span. So you really need to tell them your story quickly in a way that grabs the essence of your story in 10 seconds or less. So another consideration, think about ways that your customer can be part of the story. So the most obvious way, and it sounds remedial to say it, but you have to really remind yourself to talk with people and not to people, especially those of us who do a lot of, you know, maybe you do a lot of lectures or public speaking. A lot of times there's not an opportunity to have a real dialogue with people. But when you get out there and tell your story, really invite people for the dialogue versus the monologue, because that helps them become a part of the story. And again, if our objective is to make your story their story, that's a great way to do it. Another consideration, design matters. Design matters. So while we love to focus on the written word, we have to remember that the visual cues that we give people will also reflect on the story. So pay attention to design and be critical of it and ask yourself, is the visual picture that I paint, whether it's artwork, photography, or my website, or a brochure, or even my business card, does it reflect the story I want to tell? So what comes to mind with this one for me, and I'll never forget it, I think I was about, 21 years old, right out of college, and I was talking to a mentor about my job hunt. And he held up my resume and said, is this piece of paper, is this you? And I thought, well, of course it's not. It's a standardized form. He said, well, then go back to the drawing board, because what I want you to present is something that is you, that you feel proud that you can hold it up and it reflects who you are as a person. So, okay, a tough challenge for a 21-year-old on a resume, but for any of us for that matter. But what I quickly understood was that the visual way of presenting that information was just as important as what I said. So, go where your customers are located, be unexpected, tell me quickly, succinctly, help your customers be part of the story, talk dialogue versus monologue, and keep in mind that what we see reinforces what we hear. So, a final word on telling it for me is the really good news. Today on the internet, content is king. More and more, content is what's driving people's experience. They go there for information, for dialogue. So you're all as authors. You're the masters of content. Use this information to connect with people. It's why people are picking up your work in the first place. They already have some sort of interest or personal passion. So keep it going. Keep the conversation going. So those are the quick steps to get started. First, know the foundations of your story. Hone in, first of all, on those brand dimensions. Then ask yourself, am I presenting myself in a way that's really different and relevant and memorable? And then go tell your story. You can do it everywhere you can, and with a focus toward reaching your customers where they already are. So I hope that this was helpful and provides you with some of the considerations to get started in constructing and telling your story. And I think we have time here to open it up for some questions.
Remember, you have to push 4-star to unmute yourself.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm a junior faculty member, and I was listening to this teleconference to find out how to market myself in my tenure review materials. My research is interdisciplinary, and trying to figure out the best story to sell all the pieces of my research. So in listening to the design and those fundamental questions, the fundamental words, I'm sorry, that you were mentioning, how would you suggest to best write this sort of elevator pitch for something that brings in multiple lines or multiple areas or disciplines?
Sure. First of all, without even realizing it, you just told me a story. You just gave me your story. So that's the first thing I would tell you is you just gave me an elevator pitch. You told me you are a junior faculty member who is looking for tenure, and your research is interdisciplinary. So I would start first with, I think the word interdisciplinary is really, really a great one, and that says something very perhaps different about you. So I would start by taking out a blank piece of paper and saying, all right, what are the words that describes what makes, number one, me different, as whether it's my research is different or the way that I teach different is different, or my topic might be different. So try to hone in on those words that really you would use to describe to your colleagues. And you might have different little elevator pitches for your different audiences, right? The way you talk to a faculty member might be totally different than the way you present yourself to a student, for example. So I would first start with those words. And then I would go back and create phrases associated with each one of those words. So let me see. I won't use your specific example. I'll give an example of something that I'm working on right now. I'm working with a doctor who is developing her own private practice. And her, the way she approaches her work is actually very different than the way other doctors in her field would typically do this. So we sat out and then identified words to talk specifically, if thinking about her audience, how is she different? What approach? And then we created phrases around those. So does that help at all?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. You really need to start with those words and really ask yourself, okay, if you're interdisciplinary, how? What does that mean? What does that mean for the way you approach your work and the way you teach or the way you do research? And then write that out. Try to write those out as a few sentences once you have those words. But I actually think saying it out loud helps. I practice this stuff on people all the time. As I'm developing stories for people, I will, you know, work it with them, but also with colleagues. And I tell them, go start talking it. Start saying it to people. See if it feels right. Because I'm naturally an introvert. And I'm not all that comfortable with, like, hey, everyone, I'm the greatest thing since sliced white bread. So some of the tough part sometimes is actually saying some of this stuff out loud, right? And the more you do it, the more you start to be able to fit words in that you realize, that rings true. So try it out on people.
Hi, Charlene, it's Maxine. Are you ready for another question?
Sure.
Okay, thanks for your presentation. I am in healthcare, junior faculty as well, and my interest is in health disparities and chronic illnesses. And I know, and I'm passionate about the fact that this is a need for all of us in the society. I guess my question is how to brand it or present it to an eclectic group. And I'm kind of drawing on the present climate, political climate, and probably how healthcare, even though we know it's a need, it's not accepted, you know, by a vast majority of the society that there are health disparities and not everyone and that those who are included in that group who are not being cared for may not be the ones who have a voice. And I guess I'm asking two questions at once. One is, how do I market my product in terms of the research output that I have for it to get to the right people? And then secondly, how do I create this emotion so that people can be enveloped and understand that this is a need for society, even if they don't have a personal need?
Okay, so what we're really talking about is influencing people, right?
Yes.
But I believe that a great way to do that is to help people. So if you go back to the idea that we are the stories we tell and, you know, you can connect with people in a powerful and emotional way. So you have your work is to help people understand how this plight impacts them on a personal level and their personal story. Help them be part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you an example. I'm on Facebook, and a buddy of mine, she is very passionate about, she's in her mid-60s, I think, or early 60s. Not on this call, she'd probably die if she heard me say that. And she tells me she's probably in her late 50s, right?
That's right.
Never guess a woman's age. But she is very passionate about the way that women have been raised with their self-image. So she's very much about wanting to help the self-image of women and give women a different way of thinking and framing beauty,
mm-hmm.
and our perception of beauty. And she is doing this by, one, she's created a blog, and I know I have very mixed feelings about blogs because, frankly, sometimes you feel like you're talking to no one, you know, and sometimes people are talking to no one. But if you have something really compelling to say, there's a world that can connect with you out there. And she happened to just post a really amazing blog about this subject. And as a result, I saw it and I went, whoa, that's amazing. And I have to tell you, I don't have a personal fire inside of me for the subject. I'm sort of indifferent, for better or for worse. And she got me to turn on my heels and think about my stories and my personal experiences. And she did it by telling a story. She told a story about her childhood and how her mom approached her with her looks. And this thing got passed all over the internet. It became viral. It was on Twitter. And she found a lot more people who not only now grasped what she's so passionate about and also now share that passion, but also she found a way to extend her voice. So that's why I say you need to go where your customers are or your audience is. In this case, you've got a pretty broad audience. So the other thing I would say to you is if you're passionate about your subject, as you say, take a stance. I know somebody who writes articles about topics in digital research, so using digital means for all different types of market research. And she will put out these little stories and sort of opinion pieces about things that she sees happening in the world of market research and advertising. And I have to tell you, it gets attention and it gets people talking. So you can do that if you're really comfortable in putting your opinion out there about something. Of course, you know, you might not be, but it's a really great way of getting and capturing people's attention and getting them to talk to you. So that's what it's all about. So you might say something, this is outlandish, okay, bear with me, but just to demonstrate the example, you could do a blog about how, or post something on Facebook or write a newspaper article or send it off to the local school paper about how vital, you know, healthcare is so vital for our future that I believe X, Y, and Z is going to happen. You know, we're all going to get cancer in huge rates and we're all going to die in, I don't know, you know, but something that makes people stand up and go, whoa, either I agree or disagree with you, but I want to hear more and I want to have a dialogue with you. So telling your story, talking about it in ways that people can relate to it, is very helpful. But also having, you know, as I mentioned before, be unexpected. Get their attention. And if you've got strong opinions about things, that's a really great way to do it. And it doesn't have to be opinionated, you know, in the Benetton shock and awe kind of way, which I have to tell you, was not fun, you know, to be around always. But you can say things in a respectable way that causes a little bit of, you know, it causes conversation to start. So,
okay.
I don't know, if, does that help you?
It does, certainly does, yes. Thank you.
Sure. I think we have time for another question.
Is everyone on mute? Well, if there are no other questions, I will ask another one. I'll just wait for someone to say there's a question before I do. Just in case. Okay, I guess not. Okay, as a follow-up, in terms of public media or lay media, would you suggest any areas that I might look into? Because, like I said, you know, I wanted the general populace to know about what I'm doing. And frequently what happens in my industry is that you publish in research journals. And Right. Even clinicians in your own group sometimes don't read those research journals. Researchers read them. So in other words, apart from going into clinician-type publications, and I wanted to grab hold of the lay public, you know, apart from the blog and so on, you know, newspaper articles, any other kind of venues that you can would suggest?
Well, so I'm going to take a step backwards because you mentioned something about how to brand or present to an eclectic group.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there you have to make some decisions and about who do you want to speak to? Who's your audience? Which ones are the priorities? And how do you construct your message in a way that if one person crosses over in different groups and the other group hears the message to, you know, the different messages, that they're all just the same fundamental message but maybe a little different way of telling it.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, when you speak to academicians, you're going to have a totally different tone in an academic journal or research journal than you would, or a medical journal, than you would if you were talking, you know, on a blog directed to women or to mothers. So one of the things that you have to be careful is trying to be everything to everyone. I would first say to you, who do you think, if you want to mobilize interest in healthcare and on a particular position in healthcare, who are the people that could most effectively mobilize your cause and your belief or your opinion? Really ask yourself that because, so for example, we know if you talk to the general public, I'll backtrack. The more you know about who you're talking to, the more effectively you can figure out how to reach them. So without really knowing, when we say just broad, you're going to get broad, but it's going to be hard to write that article in a way. You really need to know, I think moms, for example, will advance healthcare. Why? Because moms mobilize the family. Because moms, who we know are typically not political, if you ask them, they care, when I see a fire on my street, now I want to know what the fire department's doing. When my child gets sick, now I'm interested in health care. So think about the story that you tell and who does that resonate the most with? And then ask yourself, where are they? How do I reach them? But write your articles or your blogs or whatever you're going to write, write it for them.
Okay.
So I don't know if that helps you because I know it's hard when you're thinking broad, it's very hard to narrow it down. We're afraid, you know, there's a fear, I'm going to give up something if I do that. But I'd really encourage you to do it because, first of all, you'll be able to speak more emotionally to them. You'll be able to craft stories that are more relevant for them. And in the end, you're going to move people.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions?
So thank you, Charlene, for sharing your expertise with us today. And thank you all for participating in today's teleconference. Brandstoria, the power of your unique brand story, is an educational presentation brought to you by the Text and Academic Authors Association. Thank you.